We will begin committee work session on three bills, since they have overlapping import. LD 72, an act to open the St. Croix River to river herring. LD 584, an act to provide for passage of river herring on the St. Croix River in accordance with an adaptive management plan. And LD 748, an act regarding the passage of river herring on the St. Croix River. So first, I think we need a, if you can perhaps not take us through all of the lengthy testimony here, but give us the highlights and what we've got.
Sure. This is Amy Winston. The three bills are summarized before you on the one document. The analysis combines the three of them as they were all heard together. Testimony was heard from either side, on either side from, among others, the bill sponsors, the U.S., and in either written and or oral form, U.S. EPA, NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, Fisheries, National Fisheries Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the International Joint Commission, the Canadian Consulate, former legislators and commissioners, tribal chiefs and representatives from the Passamaquoddy Tribe, Houlton Band of Maliseet, Penobscot Nation, Maine Indian Tribal State Commission, Skudik River Keepers, lobster and ground fishing industries, conservation interests, the Guides Association, other bass fishermen, and so forth. The reasons cited on either side for full passage in accordance with either LD 72 or LD 748, full restoration of the passage of river herring at both Woodland Dam and Grand Falls Dams in the St. Croix were legal, biological, economic, ecologic, anthropologic, moral, diplomatic, and fiscal, based on the cost of the adaptive management plan in 584 versus the no cost of the others, and the impact and the rate at which restoration and the degree to which it would be achieved and the goals. The goals of restoration of herring would be achieved, and the other consequences of that restoration. The science is cited in all of the science. That was a big question of science supporting the linkage of the ability of alewives to navigate the river, the interaction between bass and alewife, and so forth. That was cited in a full bibliography in the letter from NOAA to the chairs with a chain of correspondence that was attached, that was submitted in testimony, and quite a bit of it was referenced throughout the testimony. And also in the proposal from EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and NOAA, which was submitted also within that chain of letters. There was a lot of reference to the need to balance interests on either side, and noting that the issue is playing out in a very intensive way in Washington County, but has bigger implications for the Gulf of Maine and for the coast, for the whole East Coast. There's implications for the ground fishery and for the lobster fishery, and for the fate and the welfare of other birds and wildlife. And then the interests of the guides and the livelihood of the guides that primarily make their living off of this unique kind of tourism and the supply chain that is supported by that. A couple things to note, which are at the end of the analysis, under notes and additional information. I did attach the Maine River Herring fact sheet that's on DMR's website just for informational purposes. It was had a lot of the information in it and cited a lot of science that was key. Noting the letters, there was an analysis submitted from the Maine Indian Tribal State Commission, and then there was some discussion about the Federal Clean Water Act and the fact that that requires sets to state their own water quality standards, and that the 95 law that excluded passage of river herring essentially revised Maine's state water standards without getting the necessary approval from EPA. So as a result, and also prompted by litigation that's in the courts, federal lawsuit was filed too. EPA has directed direct Maine to revert to allow the passage of herring, because by not allowing an indigenous species to pass through it's violating its own state law for defining those water quality standards. So I put that at the end, along with the letter to the AG and the response from the AG to NOAA, to the EPA, excuse me. And then finally, the state in response, the state responded that the alewife law only applies for fisheries management purposes, and so is arguing that it doesn't apply under the Clean Water Act. So that's sort of, I just wanted to flag that because of the sort of potential legal conflict. There's no fiscal impact that's been attached. It wasn't yet determined, though there was arguments on both sides that one is no cost and the other will have cost to it. And there was questions about spending that and how that should be spent effectively. And I think that's all I have.
All right. Are there questions from the committee? Or discussion. All right. Representative Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is maybe just a process question. Since I believe LD 72 and LD 748 are identical, if we were to pass one, would that just mean we would end up voting down the other two, or...
They are, in fact, I would say, equivalent in what they achieve, but they're not the same bill. If they were the same language, they would have been merged. So, yes, we need to vote down the other two and pass one.
On whatever one we...
Otherwise, if we pass any two of them,
right,
we are doing two different things that are conflicting.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Representative Kruger.
Yes, if you're ready, I would make a motion to pass on LD 72. Ought to pass on LD 72 is my motion.
Second. Representative Doak.
What is the difference between LD 72 and 748? Because you said... I'd like to know what the difference is.
They're equivalent, as Senator Johnson states, and they're both emergency status, and the only difference is in the actual physical wording, but they achieve the same effect. It's unfettered access for river herring. It's at both dams, the Woodland Dam and the Grand Falls Dam, and it's by May 1st, 2013, that those fishways are going to be configured or operated in a way such that there will be full unfettered passage.
On May 1st?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions or discussion? We do have a motion and a second for ought to pass on LD 72. All right. Seeing none, I guess we're ready for a vote. All those in favor of ought to pass on LD 72. We are unanimous, I believe. All opposed? None. So, regarding LD 584 and LD 748, I will entertain motions.
I move 748 ought not to pass.
All right, we have a motion and a second ought not to pass on LD 748. Any discussion? All those in favor, please raise your hand. And opposed, we are unanimous. We have a motion regarding LD 584. Representative Kruger?
LD 584 ought not to pass.
A second?
Representative
Doak. Thank you, sir. All right. All in favor of ought not to pass on LD 584? We are unanimous. All right. Well, that's probably the fastest we will go with any three bills in this session. I guess technically the work session on those three is closed, and we'll